You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
So we've got a little shorter teaching tonight. We finished our 1 Peter series. We're not quite ready to start our Ecclesiastes study, so I've got a shorter teaching. We're going to finish up around 8 or hopefully before then tonight. And the story we're looking at is one of my favorite stories in the accounts of the life of Christ. It's a story about a visit that Jesus takes to the home of two of his close friends. And, you know, when Jesus visits your home, that's a pretty big deal. You know, he's not just some famous person. I mean, Scripture says that in Jesus Christ, God the Son put on human flesh and walked among us. So what you basically have is God coming over for dinner. You have God sitting on your couch. That's the incredible privilege that Jesus' close friends had on this day. And, you know, I've never really had anyone famous over for dinner. But if I did, I think I would be freaking out a little bit. I think I would be going that extra mile to make sure this was a special visit. This was a special, memorable time worthy of such a famous figure. And we're going to see of these two close friends, they've actually got two very different reactions when Jesus comes over for dinner, when Jesus comes over and is sitting on your couch. And we'll see what we can learn from their reactions. So, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So this was the village of Bethany. It was very close to Jerusalem. And he's visiting the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. This is the first we see of this family. Lazarus doesn't come up here in this story, but he was their brother, the brother of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha show up several times in the Gospels. Jesus visits their home on a couple of occasions under different kinds of circumstances. And Mary and Martha were sisters, and they were very close friends of Jesus. You know, Jesus just shows up. We don't know if they knew he was coming. He shows up, he knocks on the door. You know, imagine Martha just being like, oh my goodness, I didn't know you were coming. Jesus, come on in. I can imagine her kind of frantically really trying to get things ready for him. And you know, when Jesus knocks on your door, you let him in. You know, that's what you do. You invite him in. What a privilege to have such a distinguished guest coming to your home. You know, Martha's an interesting one. We see her several times in the Gospels. And, you know, Martha's a very active personality. She had the spiritual gift of functioning. And when we see Martha, she's often trying to explain things to Jesus, like that he might not have noticed, or maybe he was not quite doing things the right way, and she was just trying to fill him in on the right way to do things. She's giving Jesus a lot of advice when we see her in the short interactions that we have. This evening's story is not going to be any different. But yet Martha is, you know, she's a close friend of Christ. She welcomes him into her home, right, you know, right as soon as he gets there. And she also, we do see there's a lot of good in Martha. You know, she's got some pretty keen theological insights. One of the greatest statements of Christ's character she gives us in John chapter 11. So, you know, Martha, very active though. And we'll see that here this evening. Her sister, on the other hand, was called Mary. And Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And so Mary is just a sweet, spiritual sweetheart. You know, when we see Mary, it's pretty interesting. She's at the feet of Jesus. You know, every time we see her, whether it's here sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him, whether it's, you know, John chapter 11, falling at the feet of Jesus and weeping over the death of her brother, or whether it's John chapter 12 where she falls at the feet of Christ and she pours this very expensive perfume, her life savings, her dowry, over his feet, anointing him for his burial because she saw something about Jesus. She saw where he was headed. She was listening in a way that no one else seemed to be listening. And so, you know, Mary, we see her every time we see her. Mary of Bethany, we see her at the feet of Jesus, and I think that's a great place to be. Mary, she's sitting and listening to his teachings. You know, this would have been pretty unusual. You know, back in this time, the rabbis did not teach the Bible to women. That was considered like a horrible thing to do, to let the Torah fall into the hands of a woman. And so it's not clear that she had ever had an opportunity to sit and to learn, to sit and to hear the scriptures taught by a rabbi. You know, she was taking advantage. You know, it's a little bit hard. You know, Jesus was so far ahead of his time when it comes to women's rights. You know, this would be like so shocking to see a rabbi teaching a woman. This would be like you walk into your calculus class, your calculus professor's office for office hours, and you show up and he's standing there and he's explaining calculus to a dog. That's what it would be like. You'd be like, you don't teach calculus to a dog, and the dog's just sitting there wagging his tail. No, and that's what it would have felt like for them to see a rabbi teaching the Bible to a woman. And yet that's exactly what Jesus was doing. And so here, you know, I just kind of imagine, you know, Jesus, he's just sitting there. He's just sitting there right in the main room, and you've got Mary just sitting at his feet, drinking up everything that he is saying. So God the Son, he shows up. He's really glad to see her. He's teaching her, and she's just sitting there, and she's not going to let anything separate her from this opportunity to hear from the great Jesus. On the other hand, her sister Martha, a little bit different reaction. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, before we come down too hard on Martha, let's not forget, she's done a lot of good here. She welcomed Jesus into her home. She's trying to do some nice things for Jesus, right? You know, all the preparations, all of the service. This word is often translated service or even ministry in the scriptures. And so we've got Jesus showing up, and we've got Martha trying to do all this stuff for him. You know, I'm sure it was out of good intention of her heart. She invites him in, but then she takes sort of a wrong turn. It's like she's so busy trying to do something for him that she doesn't notice that God is sitting in her living room, sitting on her couch, and she's too busy to stop and talk with him. So I imagine Jesus, you know, he's just kind of sitting here like this, you know, and you got Mary just sitting right there and they're talking. But then you've got Martha, and you know, Martha's in the kitchen and she's kind of chopping stuff up, you know, and she's kind of doing her thing and she's kind of stomping across and she's, you know, getting water and she's kind of looking over there. She's got wood for the fire and she's kind of making a little fire and she's blowing on it. She's like looking over, she's like, coming over here. She's kneading the bread and making it. She's looking up at her sister. And Jesus, he's just sitting there, hanging out with Mary. I kind of imagine Jesus in this case doing something like this. You know, he's sitting there, and you know, Martha walks by, and he's like, hey, Martha, no, that's cool, you're busy, it's fine. Hey, Martha, me and Mary were just, you know, okay, whatever. That's cool, you're busy, I'll be here all day. And, you know, in the meantime, Mary's just sitting there happily listening to Jesus. Very happy to be sitting there being taught by God, who's sitting in her living room on the couch. And meanwhile, Martha's still doing her thing, and then she's coming across here. And she's kind of chopping some more stuff really hard this time. And, you know, they were sisters, right? So, you know, if you ever had, like, a sister or brother, and they're always trying to get out of stuff like my brother always was. My brother, every single time dinner would end, he would just conveniently go to the bathroom and be in there for about 15 minutes. I was like, come on. And so there's kind of maybe a pattern or a thing here or something like that. And, you know, I don't know if she felt like, you know, I'm gonna sit down eventually once I'm done doing stuff for him. Maybe she just felt like maybe he doesn't want me to. I mean, I'm a woman. Maybe Mary's being a little too forward. Whatever it was, she's going bad. Finally, she just gets sick of it. And finally, she was like, oh, shoot. I forgot my points. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work for myself? Tell her to help me. So she kind of yells at Jesus. Isn't that interesting? So Martha is genuinely trying to do something good for Jesus. She didn't turn Jesus away at the door. She's not doing something, it's not like she's stealing or committing insurance fraud or not recycling or something like that. No. She's really trying to do something good for Christ here. She's trying to serve him. She's going to get around to sitting down and talking to him eventually. And yet, what do we notice about Martha here? First of all, her attitude toward Mary. She's getting angrier and angrier at her sister while she's trying to serve Jesus. Like, the more she's trying to serve Jesus, the angrier she's getting at her sister. She's accusing her sister of doing something evil toward her, having evil motives in this whole thing. And Mary's just happily sitting there just listening to Jesus. Not only that, I don't know if you guys could ever relate. You're serving Jesus, and you're just getting angrier and angrier at your sister or brother in Christ, accusing their motives. You're feeling, they're the one making me do all this. But what's even more interesting is her attitude toward Jesus. She's getting angrier and angrier at Jesus for trying to serve him. She's also accusing him. She's accusing him of not caring about her. Because she's so like, I'm serving you. I'm doing this for you. She's distracted by the preparations she had to make. And she is working so hard. And she's getting angry at her sister and more accusing thoughts toward her sister and angry at Jesus and more accusing thoughts toward him. And this is really a red flag. If you're trying to serve Jesus, Jesus is sitting there on your couch. You've invited him into your home. He's there. And the more you serve him, the angrier you get at him and the more worn out you feel. Another thing here is that she is the alone one here. You know, you got the little couch crowd, right? And they're having a great time. And then you've got Martha, who's just stomping around and doing stuff. And she is alone. She's missing out. I really wonder what would have happened if she would have just set the preparations aside and grabbed a seat and just talked for a while with Jesus and just sat and listened, really. That's what Mary's doing here. She's sitting and listening. If Martha had sat and listened to Jesus, how would things have been different? Jesus might have helped. I mean, remember the time he made 150 gallons of wine for that party when they ran out? Remember when he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children there with a few loaves and fish? He's not like short on food. I think he might have helped. I think that would have been a lot more fun. It would have been a better experience if they were all kind of doing it together when the time came. So she's alone, and she's really just missing out. And this is really unfortunate. And Jesus responds, and he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so what is Jesus really saying? He's saying, Martha, I am not going to make you sit at my feet and spend time with me. You know, he's not going to make anybody do that. He wants people to hang out with him because they want to. He's like, I'm sure he knows she'd be a lot happier if she would sit. I think he's a little sad for her. I think he would love to talk with her. That's why he showed up at her house. She invited him in. He's already in. Why not talk with him when he's in there sitting on the couch? You got God sitting on your couch. So he's like, I'm not going to make you stop and sit at my feet and spend time with me. However, Jesus says, I'm definitely not going to make Mary stop doing what she's doing either. Because, you know, you're worried and you're upset about many things. There's many things that worry us and upset us. Many, many things. But he says, you know, there's really just a few things needed, really one. And what she has chosen is better. and it will not be taken away. She has chosen the most important thing, and that's sitting at my feet and listening to me. And all the other stuff, you know, some of those things aren't important at all. Some of those things are important, but they're just not as important. But what she has picked is the most important thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Some people are like, oh, so we just sit around like Mary and never do anything, huh? Yeah, nothing would get done that way. Or some people are like, yeah, I'm just going to sit around like Mary. Well, some Christians, I guess, are this way. They're like, oh, I'm just too busy spending time with Jesus to ever do anything. No. To that, I would say, if sitting at the feet of Jesus doesn't lead to action, you are fooling yourself. It should lead to, like, the most action, the greatest striving to serve him. Jesus has just said earlier in Luke 10, greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, this is kind of an example of loving God, right? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him, spending time with him, talking with him. But loving your neighbor as yourself, that's gonna take a lot of effort. We're going to pour ourselves out for that task. You look at Mary's life. You look at the effect it had on her. This did not lead to a sedentary life. When we read John chapter 12, the very few things we read about Mary, what we see from her is we see the greatest act of devotion, the greatest act of sacrifice in the Gospels outside of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. What Jesus says about what she did is, leave her alone. He's always telling people to leave Mary alone. Leave her alone because she has done a beautiful thing to me. Who else does Jesus say that about? And then he says, whenever people talk about the cross, they're also going to talk about Mary of Bethany and what she has done here. Who else does he say that about? No one. We see a boldness because she saw Jesus clearly, because she knew him closely, because she was listening to what he was saying about himself in a way that no one else was. She was capable of the greatest action. And so Jesus says, this is the most important thing because this is the thing that leads to all the other things. Taking time to sit at my feet and listen. Sit and listen. Those were the two verbs from Mary there. And if we do that, then that is going to lead to sustainable action. The Martha action is very different. It's frantic at first, and then it collapses in a pile of anger and accusations toward people, toward God. Martha's doing kind of the opposite of what Jesus said just before this story. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself and love God. Martha's angry at her sister and angry at God. And so we don't want these short-term works for Jesus. We want to receive from him, be filled up by him. That's why it's so important. And that's going to lead to a giving out to him and for him. This is what you were designed for. You know, even if you've never read the Bible, deep down in your heart, you know God is there. You know that he has been calling to you. In whatever way is most appropriate for you, he's calling out to you. Come and talk with me. Come and talk with me, it says in the Psalms. You were designed for relationship with him that's been broken. And now Jesus, he's showing back up and he says, I want a relationship. Because of what he did on the cross. That can happen. Application. It starts with welcoming Jesus in when he knocks. Wasn't that the first step here in the story? Martha welcomed him into her home. Jesus uses this analogy in other places, like Revelation 3. He says, look, I'm standing at the door. I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. So Jesus, you know, he died on the cross. He loves you. He died for your sins so you can have a relationship with him. And now he's knocking at the door. And your job is not to go out to him. He's coming to you. You just have to open the door. You got to let him into your heart. Start that relationship. That's how it begins. But once he's in there sitting on your couch, Take regular time to sit and to listen to him. That's the next step. This is how spiritual growth works. It's grabbing a seat and hearing from Jesus. And, you know, that can be spending time in his word. I mean, that could include even spending time in his word in a meeting like this. I mean, this is sitting and listening to the teachings of Christ. That's what we try to do. My goal is to get out of the way and just put the scriptures on the screen and try to explain them in a way that points you to him. That's what we're trying to do here each week. So we sit, we listen to him by sitting and spending time in his word. We got to stop and we got to listen. And you got to have both of those. But also talking with him in prayer. You know, we hear from him through his word, but we also can hear from him in the context of that through prayer. We can talk with him. We can ask him stuff. He wants us to talk with him. He says, ask anything in my name, it'll be granted to you. What a privilege. But walk boldly into the throne room of God with confidence because of grace. A few final tips here on how to do this. Schedule it first. Remember Jesus said, there's many things that are distracting. There's a few things that are important, but this is the real important one. Stephen Covey has a great example in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks about you've got a jar and you've got big rocks, little rocks, gravel, and sand. And you got to put them all in the jar. And he makes the point, if you put the little stuff in first, the big stuff won't fit. These two jars have the same amount of rocks, the same amount of sand in them. The difference is, for the jar on the right, they put the big stuff in first, and then the little stuff just kind of fills in around that. But if you throw the little stuff in first, that's going to take the primo spots, and you're not going to have room for the important stuff. That's our problem for a lot of us. We're just kind of letting the little stuff in first. We're being passive. We can't be passive in this area. We got to put the big stuff in, and then the smaller, less important things, we can arrange them around that. Allow some time to linger. It's going to take a little time. We can't just pull up at a drive-thru window and grab a bag of this and speed out on our way. We're going to have to set aside a little bit of time. You ever done time-lapse photography of the stars at night? Here's a picture I took a few years ago. This is the Big Dipper. One of the Dippers, I don't know. They look the same to me, you know? This is a 20-second exposure. I mean, that's a long time. I mean, that's like click, 20 seconds later, click, all right? And you can clearly see the Big Dipper. If you really look, you can see a few faint stars. And you might look at this and conclude, well, there's only 7 stars in the sky. It's not true. Leave that thing open for 90 seconds and look at the difference. Same sky. So many more stars. They were all there before. You just didn't stop long enough to drink it in. We're just, when we come before God, we're just kind of opening the shutter and we're receiving from him his truth, his love. Do you notice how blurry this is too? And it's not because I moved the camera. The camera was on a tripod. I even had like little cable, so I wasn't even touching it. No. What moved was not the camera. What moved was the earth. You leave your shutter open for 90 seconds, you're going to see that blur, and that's because the earth is spinning. You don't notice it in the short burst, but if you leave the shutter open long enough, you start to notice things that you didn't notice before. Like all of these stars, like this movement that you couldn't even see before, and that's what we want with God. We want to open the shutter. We need to spend enough time with him that we can take in what we need to hear. We need to get away from the age of distraction. I mean, you think Martha had problems? We got problems with distractions. Like I said, minimize distractions. Is there a place you can go to? You may need to run from the distractions, from the noise. You know, if there was an axe murderer in your house, you would not just sit there casually. You would run the other way and slam the door. We might need to do that when it comes to trying to spend time with God. Maybe just go into a bedroom, go to the basement, go somewhere, go out in nature where you can get away from it all. Leave your phone. Why do you need your phone all the time? Why do you have so many notifications? How important is that? Something's coming every 5 seconds. You don't need a notification to tell you that. I try to get away from my phone for this part of my day. I probably need to get away from it a little more. A plan for what you're going to read when you sit down with His Word, a plan for what am I going to do? How am I going to pray? I think a journal can be helpful sometimes. I don't do that every day, but I do it once or twice a week. Just journaling out my thoughts with God. I think it's helpful to have a little list where if you think of something to do, just write it down, put it back in your pocket, do it later. You're going to have all kinds of things come into your mind that you need to do right now. Just write it down. When you pray, one of the best tips I can give you is start it with prayer and gratitude. Start it with praise and gratitude. Telling God how awesome it is, thanking Him for what He's done for you, thanking Him for who He's made you in Christ. If you find your mind wandering, don't beat yourself up. Just say, Lord, thanks for pointing that out to me. You must really want to talk to me if you're pointing out my wandering mind again. And go back to talking with Him. And finally, I think one of the best things you can do is you can do some reading on the subject. We've got plenty of books on prayer and scripture out there. And that's been one of the things. You know, if you're here with people from a home church tonight, I bet you there's some people in there that have read some great books on this subject that can make some recommendations for you. And just fill your mind with good authors that teach on this. And it'll move you to action. Yes, Lord, You didn't show up asking for us to do something for You. You showed up asking for us to receive from You. And I'm thankful for that as You pour Your love into our hearts, that overflows to love for a world that really needs Your love. I'm thankful for how You are a relational God. You're a God of love. You're not a God of works. I'm thankful, too, that You're the one that showed up at the door of our heart and knocked. And You did everything for us to come into that relationship with You. That is just a matter of opening that door, Lord. I pray that some here would do that tonight. Yeah. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.